Welcome to Education, Leadership, and Beyond, Surviving and Thriving. My name is Andrew Marotta, host of the program, and so good to be here with you live here on Facebook, live on Twitter, live on YouTube, as well as iTunes, proud member of the Education Podcast Network, Voice Ed Radio Canada, wherever you are taking in your podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. Happy holidays to everybody, and glad you are involved and engaged with Education, Leadership, and Beyond. We are going to meet Dr. Chris Jones here. He is the executive director of the Virginia ASCD, doing a lot of work in schools, doing a lot of leadership work. We're going to learn about him. We're going to learn about his journey. We're going to learn about his family. He's got a bunch of kids, as well as his track of life. He's been involved with some amazing things, the Army, Airborne, Ironmans, like just tremendous stuff. Things that people dream about, he's done. So it's like, wow, very cool. So if you're watching the show, jump in the show, say hello, let us know where you are tuning in from. The sponsor of the show are my books today, right? It's holiday time. It's turning over to the new year, right? New Year's resolutions. I'm going to do this, right? All leaders are readers. So just a shout out for my books. I'm enjoying the writing process. Again, we've got my next book coming out in 2024. But if you're looking for a book to read, somewhere to invest in your time, your growth, check out the Surviving and Thriving series. And the books are hitting a number of different areas. So a little commercial there. 2024 is coming. All leaders are readers. What are you reading? Okay. The opening concept here is, and make time for exercise. Again, as I mentioned, Chris is a busy leader, the executive director of the Virginia ASCD. He's got a bunch of children. His daughter's on the doorstep of college. But physical fitness is an important component of his life. And I'm going to ask him about that. How do you do all these things and make time to exercise? He's done 3 Ironmans, and that doesn't happen by accident. You can't just say, hey, I'm going to go out and run a couple miles today, right? The person out of shape can go run a couple miles. But to be that focused and that directed is quite impressive. So as we turn the page here on the holidays, 2023, going into the new year, what are those fitness goals and how are you going to get there? We're going to ask Chris about that. Got to give a shout out to my mom is watching. Hello, Dory from Staten Island. Thanks for tuning in, Mom. You've been watching me for a few years now, 48 and counting. So let's bring Chris on the show here. Chris, welcome to Education, Leadership, and Beyond.
Oh, how you doing? And look, man, you just put a huge smile on my face giving your mom a shout out. Look at you, Andrew. Shout out, Mom.
Chris, I told her you were coming on the program today, and she said, oh, Andrew, I got to tune in. Chris Jones from Virginia. And Chris, she came to a trip at William & Mary when I was officiating down there, so she does love Williamsburg too. But everybody, this is Dr. Chris Jones, the executive director of the Virginia ASCD. Chris, welcome. It's an honor to have you on. How are you? How's your family? How is everything going, on the doorstep of the holidays here?
All is well, Andrew, and I appreciate you inviting me. It's an honor to just be side by side on the screen with you. So just thank you so much for allowing me to be just a part of what you've got going on here with the ELB podcast. All is well. Our family is doing well. I'm doing well professionally. I'm doing well personally. Like you mentioned, our oldest, we've got 4 kids and one of them's a senior on the verge of going to college. So I'm, each season that I get to experience with her as a parent, it doesn't prepare me for the other ones because it's no easier because they're all different. But we are wrapped up in just getting her in that space to fly the nest. Part of me is tremendously, anxious about that time when it is time for her to fly. But the other one is so proud that she's made it this far and she's put herself in a situation where she's going to get to go to a great university, get a great education, and then do great things without us, which brings the tear. All is well, Andrew. I appreciate it, man.
She'll be with you forever because those seeds you've planted, Chris, you know, stay with them. You know that as an educator, as well as a father. Chris, you were an educator many years, principal 11 years, Chesterfield High School. But you're in a different position right now, and you've been there for almost 2 years now. So help us out. Where are you in your year now? Is your year coming to an end? Is it like the school year? Where are you in the flow of your year with the work you're doing at the Virginia ASCD?
Yeah, so our ups and downs, they sometimes line up with the ups and downs of a school year. And then sometimes when, you know, it's a busy time in the school, it's kind of a downtime for us. Like, for example, in the April, May timeframe, we kind of take a little bit of a step back because that's when schools are closing out. They're prepping for their testing. And because we're an organization that's focused on professional development and service, we also have an advocacy arm. I'll talk about all of those things. We do have an ebb and flow. And so I like to think that we really don't have any downtime, but there are some slower times. Like we just hosted our annual conference. So we had 700 folks in Williamsburg this year. We actually hosted our annual conference at the Lodge in Williamsburg, and we just wrapped that up. We do it the week after Thanksgiving. And so this is the time for kind of prepping, planning, and coordinating for our spring events. And then we're also lining up our summer events as well. I'll get real busy in January, February, because we have an advocacy arm. We work with policymakers, legislators, lawmakers to draft legislation, to amend legislation, to testify on bills, et cetera, et cetera. So because we've got our hands in a lot of cookie jars, there are a lot of opportunities for me to be extremely busy, but right now I'm in a really good place where we're starting to plan for future events and getting our stuff ready for General Assembly that starts in January.
And Chris, how do you come up with the themes for these things? You're going to have some spring events here. You know, is that a committee where you're sitting around throwing topics up? Is that something on your run in the morning? It pops in your head and said, we're going to that. How do you develop those?
No, I appreciate that. And one of the things that I'll probably talk a lot about today is intentionality. One thing that I believe deeply in is there aren't things that happen accidentally. Luck will happen when you're prepared. Luck will happen when you are intentional. Those things will pile on. But when you are clearly focused and you're intentional about what you do, things line up for you. And so to answer your question, we do a couple of different things. So we do host some focus groups. We have an advisory group. Our programs team is led by one of our board members. That group meets quarterly to come to the table, and they're from all over Virginia to talk about the needs, what they're seeing, this is what we need to do. But we also do some market research. We ask the people, what are the things that you need? We give them a bunch of options to kind of choose from. And then we ask them different kinds of questions. How do you like your professional development delivered? What day of the week, what month of the year? So we do this market research. We have this advisory council. We do some focus groups, and we compile that information to say, these are the things we need, and this is when we need to deliver that. And so we found that, like, for example, February is the most popular month for professional development. The next is July and then June. And so we try to load up February, the end of June, and then throughout July, because that's when the people said, hey, this is when the best time for professional development. But when it comes to like the topics, that is driven by research, by the advisory group, and by focus groups. The things that pop into my head are the things that we can do differently. So we deliver on the needs. We give the people what they want, when they want it, and to some extent how they want it. But then we start to experiment with different ways that we can put on conferences and workshops and asynchronous things that are on demand. So different ways for us to deliver that content is where things in the middle of the night, those ideas come through, or even in the advisory council. Hey, what if we tried this? And then we try it. If it's a flop, we figure out why it flopped. If it's a flaw in the design, then we'll mess with it. But if it's a hit, we'll find ways to replicate it.
Awesome. And Jacob Grabham says hello. He's giving you a shout out there.
Jacob, my man. What's up, buddy?
He's tuned in here. Chris, what are some goals you have for the organization? Two or three goals for 2024?
Yeah, so our organization really has, it's a singular goal in our strategic plan. It's to influence learning, teaching, and leading in the Commonwealth. And we do that through the programs. We do that through the content that we create and the services and our way of giving back to the profession. And we do that through our advocacy arm. And so one of the specific strategic objectives that I have within that, and that measurable objective, is really building an avenue to elevate educators in Virginia, and not just lip service, not just the hashtag on social media, but a way of putting people in a position to stretch their leadership, to showcase their leadership, to share their expertise and their experience, and to really put them in a position so that they can influence the profession and can influence learning, teaching, and leading, and really make instruction in the classrooms the highest quality that it can possibly be, but doing it in a way that we're empowering and uplifting others. And so that's like one central thing that I am extremely interested in. We're in the early stages of planning out a program. We're calling it the VASED Influencers. And so if you can just imagine the educators that are just ready and ripe for those situations and to be put in positions where they can flex, so to speak, that's something that I'm extremely excited about for 2024 for VASED.
Very cool. And Chris, you know, our lives as professionals intertwine with our personal lives. How about some personal goals here for yourself? You mentioned your oldest daughter, but you have four children, 17, 15, 13, and 11. That's a lot. What are some personal goals you have for you, your family?
Well, so paying for college is something that we definitely have to think about. I always just think about, you know, for our family, being happy, being healthy, and then each member of our family being able to individually define what success means for them, and then to be able to chase that success. And so I think personally, on a family side, just continuing to build my kids towards their potential, build my kids towards finding their identity and developing their purpose, so that they can pursue whatever success they've defined as their success criteria, moving towards that. For me, just being the exercise junkie, just continuing to stay healthy. I'll be 47 in 2024. So I'm closer to 50 than I am to 40, which, you know, as we get older, and I felt it at 40, and I definitely felt it at 45, but I had a rejuvenated spirit at 46, I'll tell you what. And I'm just hoping to continue to ride that wave with some intentionality and just stay super healthy, so that I can see the success in my kids.
Awesome. You definitely can feel your positive energy, that energy that you're bringing certainly to the podcast. Chris, you have an extensive background. We talked off air that you were fortunate to do some of these activities, and you know, they were hard work. They're hard decisions. And you have been, I like the word intentionality, but a dedicated educator, but also serving our country. Let's start there, Chris. You were in the Army Airborne Rangers. That sounds very intense. That sounds very high up. You know, tell me about your decision there. When was that? And what was that journey like for you?
Yeah, so that, I mean, so this month, actually on December 31st, I will have been separated from the military for 20 years. And so I served from 97 to 03, 6 years. So very funny story. I won't say that I used to be ashamed to tell this story, but I would never, ever reveal, my pathway into the Army. I graduated from high school. I didn't have any direction, no focus, no goals, no, like nothing. I thought I wanted to be an electrical engineer. So I went to ODU as an electrical engineer major, quit after three semesters, but it was the summer of 97, I think. Yeah, the summer of 97, there was a movie that came out, and the star of the movie was Nicolas Cage. And in the movie, he was an Airborne Ranger. The movie was Con Air. Okay. So he was an Airborne Ranger, and he was a complete badass. And I saw that movie, and after the movie, I was like, that's what I want to do. The very next day, I walked into the recruiter's office. I said, I want to be an Airborne Ranger. And, you know, and so the one thing led to another. To, you know, had to take the ASVAB, went to MEPS to get a contract. I was lucky enough that one of the recruiters in the recruiting office had a Ranger tab, so he was very familiar with what it meant to be an airborne Ranger. And he kind of mentored me and tutored me and helped prep me from June until, I enlisted in October was my delayed entry time to ship out. So I joined the Army. Number one, I didn't really have any focus or direction, but number two, Nicolas Cage inspired me in Con Air to be an airborne Ranger. Wow. And the rest is history.
Yeah. Hey, inspiration is everywhere, right? Reaching kids, engagement, it's everywhere. So Chris, what skills did you take away from there that you carried with you in education that you took with you as a father? What are some of the strategies, the skills, the experiences that you took with you?
Yeah, Andrew, that was my time in the Army was everything for me. I'll tell my wife that the best decision I ever made was marrying her. The second best decision I made was joining the Army. It gave me focus. It gave me direction. It gave me purpose. It showed me what it meant to be responsible for somebody other than myself. It helped me define what it meant to be squared away, to instill a level of discipline that was needed to carry things out. Some other things that, kind of have translated. I was fortunate enough to get to spend about 18 months in an operations, group where I learned about strategic planning. I had no idea back then that would translate into a highly effective skill for strategic plan as a leader. That's an important thing to be able to do. But learning that in the military was a completely unexpected and I didn't really know I developed that skill until I started doing some planning and strategic planning. And it just came, it felt natural. That was, obviously much later down the road. But when it comes to, for me, being a human being a man, being a husband, being a father, being an educator, being a neighbor, being a community, servant, all of those things came because of the Army. I would make that decision 1,000 times out of 1,000. If I was given 1,000 lives to do it all over again, I would choose that route every single time. So there's a lot to unpack with that. And I recognize that. But for me, the Army was everything.
Wow. We could clip that and send that to them. We'll see you on the Army commercials. What a great thing there, but it clearly has had a great impact on your life, on your leadership. And so how did that then, make the leap to education from there? How did you go down that road?
So that, I did one tour in Afghanistan, one and only one. When I got back, I was fortunate to have an opportunity to serve as an instructor. So we, in our unit, we had it's a 3-week course. We ran it 11 times in the year. It was a course where the guys from the unit would come and learn and prepare for Ranger school. So being in a Ranger unit is much different than going to Ranger school. And so there, we had a 3-week program that we called it pre-Ranger to prep for the Ranger school. And I was fortunate to have the opportunity to be an instructor. As an instructor, I found my gift. I found like a passion. I was really good at teaching as an instructor without instruction on being an instructor. It was just a natural thing that fit. Suzanne and I knew that, I could not be the father I wanted to be while I was in the Army and while I was an airborne Ranger. So we knew that eventually I was getting out, and then I found my ticket. I was good at math. I loved math when I was in school. I was good at it. I had a knack for it. And then I found this new talent of teaching, of instruction. I was like, Suzanne, what if I got out and went to school to be a high school math teacher? And boom, that's exactly what we did. And so I separated. My last day, like I said, was December 31st, 2003. That semester, January 2004, I started school at Columbus State University with a bachelor in secondary ed mathematics. And wow. So that was my path completely fortunate. So when I tell you that I'm fortunate, I recognize, I don't take it for granted. I've been extremely fortunate throughout. I mean, obviously sometimes I had to make some decisions, but the decisions that I made just happened to be some good fortunate ones, because I was put in that position. However that came about, I can't explain, but I've just been extremely fortunate in my life.
Awesome. Jennifer Fisher, Johnny Stevens, shout out. They're tuned in here as well. Thanks for tuning in. And your friend Chris. Chris, you just shared two stories of something hit your heart, something touched your mind, and you went after it, right? The Army, teaching, you had that experience of being an instructor. When was that first scratch of the surface of, hey, I think I could be a principal? Was there something like that that happened? When did you realize you wanted to do that?
So the other thing about, getting that scratch, or like just having this light bulb moment, is also being surrounded by people who believe in you and who can see some things, people who are in position to tap you on the shoulder. So I was extremely fortunate in my first teaching gig, Green Run High School in Virginia Beach, high school math teacher, my principal at the time, George Parker, like immediately tapped me on the shoulder. You need to get into this admin prep program. And so I looked into a couple of different programs. I had a teaching buddy, David Abbott. He was my workout buddy for many, many years. He's like, hey, we're going to start George Washington University. So I'm in the, I'm not even starting my second semester as a teacher, and I'm already going to school to learn how to be an administrator. And so we went through the program, administrator license. At the end of my first year, I'm doing my summer school internship. So I'm a summer school intern administrator with exactly 1 year of teaching experience. Like, what do I know about teaching for me to give feedback to these veteran teachers? So I recognized my place, and I knew that. But I also was at the same time surrounded by people who believed in me and who saw something I didn't see in myself. The path to administration and the path eventually into the principalship came because of people who believed in me and people who tapped me on the shoulder and helped me tremendously through that path. So finished my master's degree, started right into the doc program with George Washington University master's and doc program. I finished my doc program in August of 2013. And that month I had an interview to be an assistant principal. It was in a different school division at an elementary school. So think, high school, Airborne Ranger instructor for Airborne Rangers, and then high school math and high school and assistant principal in elementary school. I had kids at the time, and I was like, I don't know how to do this job. I'm high school. I just thought, I'm gonna go to school every day and pretend like I'm the father of 550 kids. And it worked. It worked.
Wow, that is great. I love the your energy again. And I love the word about, you believed in me. I don't know if you read the blog this morning, Chris. I watched the Shaquille O'Neal documentary, and he had those points in his life where people believed in him. Dale Brown from LSU, and they kind of changed the course for him as well. But those are great stories. And then Chesterfield, you were there 11 years, did well in that role. What is something that you're most proud of as principal for 11 years there, Chris?
Yeah, so I was only principal 4 years. Total administration was 11. But,
okay.
I think there are so much that I'm proud of for my time at Thomas Dale High School in Chesterfield. So I think about what I was proud of, I mean, we accomplished a lot in a relatively short period of time. Our on-time graduation rate jumped up. We cut our dropout rate like just razor thin down to barely any kids dropping out, which one kid dropping out is is not acceptable, but for us to cut it from what it was to what it became. And it's, and then also with chronic absenteeism, like those were the three big markers that I looked at: on-time graduation, dropout rate, and chronic absenteeism. If we're creating an environment that's engaging, that kids know they're loved and cared for, and they have strong relationships with each other, and then also with the adults, they're going to come to school. So that's why I use chronic absenteeism. If they're not dropping out, that means they're coming to the place where they need to be so that they can be successful. And if they're graduating, and not just graduating like across the stage, checking boxes, we were dedicated to prepping them for life and future, whether they were going into college, whether they were jumping straight into the workforce, or they were going into a time of service, particularly with the military. We wanted to make sure that they had tools and experiences that would prep them. For me, when I graduated high school, I, like I said earlier, I had no direction, no purpose, no goals, no plan. I didn't have anything. I didn't know who I was. Like, so it was important for me, just from a personal experience, that I led a school where kids over the course of 4 years could find their identity, where over the course of 4 years, kids could develop a sense of purpose, where over the course of 4 years, kids could develop a deep-seated belief that anything was possible, and that they would find ways, networking, developing their schools, their skills and their tools, and then also getting able to have a bit of experience. Like for me, electrical engineering, I had to quit after three semesters because I didn't want to be an electrical engineer. Wouldn't have been nice if I would have known that coming out of high school. But high schools, they're still not designed like that, but they definitely weren't designed like that back in the 90s. And so I'm extremely proud that we were able to move our school there. You know, those outcome-based things, of course, I'm proud of. I think on the level, though, I'm so proud of the relationships that I was personally be able to develop with the faculty, with the staff, with the students, with their families, with the community of Chester. Like those relationships will carry with me forever. It's only been 2 years, but when I see kids or parents of the kids, when I'm out in Chesterfield, and it happens almost every single day, it just brings me back to that place that we did something special with our the relationships that we built. But for me, so we got the outcomes that I'm proud of, the relationships I'm proud of. The thing that I'm personally most proud of is leading an entire school community as a principal through the pandemic. So I was principal before the pandemic. I was principal during and through the pandemic. And my last day, so here's a nice little funny anecdote. My last day on the job was February 28th, 2022. That was the last day that masks were required in schools in Chesterfield County. So I'll put my stamp on the fact that I led our school and our school community through the pandemic. And that was, I don't even have the words to describe that, but it might've been the best thing that I've ever done in my, you know, on my professional side, might've been the best thing that I ever did was lead a school community as a principal through the pandemic.
Wow. Yeah. It was a hard time. It was a crazy time. you wonder how we got through it, right? Surviving and thriving.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Chris, did you find yourself looking for those kids like you described that didn't have direction, were kind of lost in the wind, walking down the hallway, not knowing what was going on? Did you find yourself reaching out and grabbing those kids?
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, when you see yourself in the kids, you get that immediate attraction. When you can see that a kid doesn't have direction or doesn't, you know, have that focus or isn't able to have that experience, you reach out to them. And so one thing that was important to me was to create the system so the kids don't get lost. So we wanted to create a school. Our thing was every night, every day. So we were the Thomas Dale Knights. And it was, of course, a clever play on words with every night, every day. But what that meant was that we were going to take every single student, their strengths, their weaknesses, their likes, their dislikes, their goals, their dreams, their cultural norms, their social constructs, all of those things, and create an experience built for them, as opposed to the other way around, where here's the school, see if you can get in where you fit in. And so the more kids that we could catch, with the system we built, the easier it was to detect the kids who needed a different form of that love and that kind of gentle nudge in the right direction.
Love that. Every night, every day.
Yeah.
I hope it stuck, and because that's pretty cool. Yeah. Awesome. Well, we certainly appreciate your leadership. Being a principal is a challenging job. Being a principal in the pandemic was extremely challenging. Chris, you mentioned the word intentionality multiple times on the program here. Again, four children, wife, you know.
That wasn't always intentional. Four kids wasn't always intentional, but that's another conversation for another day.
The question is, how do you fit it all in? How do you do it? You mentioned fitness. You have a hobby about cutting lawns and that. And how do you fit it all in? Hydrate.
Yeah. So what a great question. And I didn't mean to throw you off your game, Andrew. Yeah,
no, sorry, I love it.
Look, man, it was the great opportunity. You intentionality for kids. I couldn't help it. So. So, I mean, we are all confined to the same 24 hours. And when there are some people you look at and you think, how are they able to do all of that in the same 24 hours that I have? And sometimes it is about intentionality. Sometimes it's, you know, you're in a season of life where you can do that. And so I think exercise has been a part of my life almost since I was a youngster, between community sports and team sports. So those were the things. But right around the time of the 18-19, that's when I really started locking in. And then it was solidified when I went into the Army. So I was 20 when I went into the Army, and I've been an early morning guy. So first thing I do in the morning is exercise for 26 years. It is, wow. It is not a habit. It is my life. It's a lifestyle. And I really do try to center everything on that workout, and making that a priority, whether it's the workout is the priority, the sleep is the priority, or really the healthy eating for the rest of the 23 hours. Cause it's easy to nail the 1 hour in the gym. It's the other 23 hours that you got to get right. But I think being very intentional with that being my priority and recognizing here's where I am in this season. And it's not like that all the time. I mean, when I was a new father and I wasn't sleeping at all, like my workouts were hit or miss. When I was a principal, and especially principal in the pandemic, the workouts were hit or miss. I'd go, but sometimes I would just be going through the motions just because like this is who I am. It's in my DNA. This is what I do, but I'm really just going through the motions because I'm thinking about 1,000 other different things. And, you know, you've got folks in your email, folks in your text, and folks who are calling you this 24/7, giving you this either it's information or problems. So it's in the season, but it's an extremely important thing for me. It is top priority. And what I'll say to everyone tuning in is like, you taking care of yourself is not selfish. It's probably the most selfless thing that you can do, because the best version of yourself is 10 times better than the not best version of yourself when it comes time to deliver for others. But I wake up early. So Andrew, I get up at 3:30 in the morning. I work out from about 4:15 to 5:15, get cleaned up. So it's a priority. And the best time for me to get it done is super early in the morning. I come home, I help all the kids get up, get some lunches made, help out with dishes and laundry, like get those things rolling before the sun even comes up. Like, but that's what works for me. Like, that's not going to work for everybody. But when you ask how I'm able to fit it in, it's because I'm waking up at 3:30 in the morning.
What time are you going to bed?
Well, that depends. I try to be asleep by 8:30. So 7 hours is the goal. If I can get 8, that's perfect. But, I'm also in a season of life where I've got a great partner in crime. My wife, she takes care of the things in the evening, if I have to miss out on it because sleep's a priority, workout's a priority, so et cetera, et cetera. But the version I am, the other 16 hours professionally, personally, for my kids, for Suzanne, and even for me is a lot better because I've put that priority on the health, on the wellness, on the exercise, on the diet, on the sleep. And it's that trifecta that is just this synergistic relationship between food, exercise, and sleep. Just it's incredible when you're in that spot and you're in a groove and you never ever want to get out because it just hits different, man. To take a quote from Gen Z, it hits different.
Wow. It's inspiring to hear. And as someone who's of a similar age, my kids are in the same thing. It is hard sometimes. I thought I was doing good getting up at 5 a.m. But it is hard. But like you said, it's a priority. It's intentional. Yeah. And it's nice to see that you're getting it done. It's inspiring. And I hope it's inspiring for our audience as well. So if you are tuning in live here, say hello. A number of you have jumped in the show. And it is very inspiring. Chris, what was something you wanted to talk about that I didn't ask you about?
Oh, I'm here to answer the questions. I will never ever claim to be an inspirational guy or a motivational guy. It's not really in my DNA. I'm really good at answering questions. It's important to me, like the things that you want to know or the things that other people want to know. I can make that guess. Because at the end of the day, this podcast it's not for you and me, right? There's some entertainment value. But I appreciate your questions. I also appreciate the opportunity to get to reflect on my path and recognizing that, I didn't come up knowing that I wanted to be a teacher. And then I went to school to be a teacher, like that straight and narrow, that narrow pathway, just recognizing that, you could get to places you never even knew you wanted to get to through hard work, consistency, persistence, intentionality, and relationships, and surrounding yourself with great people who will uplift you. And so, no, I don't have anything that I want to say that we didn't already talk about, Andrew. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, and you said it during the podcast, your response to those prompts, right? The working out, seeing the movie and going down to the office, having the teaching experience in the Army, I'm going to go get my teaching license. Yeah. The person prompts you to say, hey, go get your teaching degree, your principal license. You get the principal license and you continue on to get the doctorate. You took action on those things in your life. And it's evident in meeting you and talking with you that taking that action has produced great, great things. And again, you said, I'm fortunate. Well, you worked hard at it. So kudos to you, your family. And I wish you and your family the best of luck here on your journey. You're in the thick of it.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man. Thank you so much, Andrew.
Well, let's get to rapid fire, Chris. We'll get you on your way. And I'm heading to my kids' game here as well. So, Chris, these are quick answers. First thing that pops into your head, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Here we go. Last book you read?
The last book I read was The Changing World Order. I'm currently reading Imaginable by Jane McGonigal. It's a great book.
We're going to get you the dad's book, being in the thick of it there for you. Last movie you saw?
Yesterday it was nasty weather. I watched the new Netflix film, Leave the World Behind,
with Julia Roberts.
Yeah, Julia Roberts is in there. Ewan McGregor. I can't remember. Ethan Hawke, Kevin Bacon was in there. Mahershala Ali. It was terrible. It was terrible. Really? I didn't like it. No, it was terrible.
It was all right.
I mean, concept, like it. I think it's based on a book. The Obamas were executive producers. I mean, the Obamas were executive producers. And I think it was based on a book. I'm guessing that reading the book would probably be a lot better. It was a great idea, great concept, great theme. Just, I don't know. I didn't dig it. The ending was terrible.
we're not watching. It's already off my list. Last concert you went to?
Avenged Sevenfold with my daughter for her 17th birthday in Charlotte. That was in September, so just a couple months ago.
Beautiful. Your favorite dish. You're a health guy. Your favorite dish.
I love burger and fries, man. I don't get to eat it very often, but when I do, man, I will destroy a cheeseburger and some fries. Oh, man, that's my favorite.
Is there a health benefit in subbing out the burger for the turkey burger or the Impossible Burger? You recommend that?
You might as well just go with the high protein for the red meat. And there are actually some health benefits to eating red meat. So I'll pick red meat. I eat red meat every single day. So I'm a red meat fan. I'm definitely carnivorous.
Favorite place to travel?
My family and I, we love going down to Florida. So we've gone to Florida every year for several years. Disney World's down there. Sea World's down there. There's Tampa Busch Gardens. Universal Studios. I'm attracted to warm weather. I love the way palm trees look with blue, sunny sky. You know what I mean? Like, it's just all the things. It's the thing that we can afford to do that's as close to a tropical vacation as you can get on our budget. So I like going to Florida.
I'm with you on that. The best leaders are the best because fill in the blank.
I'd say the best leaders are the best because, or they win, they have a relentless focus on their people.
I like that answer there. At 8 a.m. on Saturday morning, I feel fill in the blank.
Super productive. By 8 a.m., I've already had a workout. I'm cleaned up and I could come home and like, get a bunch of things done, whether it's yard work, some housework, or, you know, whatever I need to get done. And if things are in a place where they don't need to get done, then kicking up my feet, I don't feel guilty because it's Saturday.
A pet peeve of yours.
So I've got two pet peeves. One is super petty. I don't know if I'm going to share it with you, but talking about fitness and working out, one pet peeve is people who don't put their stuff back. Like if they've got weights or dumbbells and they don't put it back, that drives me nuts. And it, you know, it's one thing, like I can appreciate you putting it back, but put it back in the right place. So that's getting a little bit picky. So here's my petty thing. I'm going to share it. Why not? My people know that I'm super. So here's my petty, recognize that this is a first world problem. So living in suburban neighborhoods, people who park on the street drives me nuts. Park in your driveway. Come on, man. You don't even need to put it in your garage. Park in the driveway. Get off the street, especially when they're parking on the street, both sides, like right across from each other. So there's literally just one lane to get through and people, you know what I mean? So.
And some of those neighborhoods, you're not even allowed to park on the street, right?
I need to live in that neighborhood. Some of my great friends park in the street. So if you're listening, I'm sorry. It just gets on my nerves.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, Chris, again, my mom is watching. We grew up in New York City. People would park in front of the house. My mother would go out and be like, no, you can't park in front of the house.
We're mom,
it's a public street, mom. They can't. She's like, no, it's in front of our house. They can't park there.
Yes, I have the same feeling.
Chris, I've been doing this show a long time. I have not heard that one, but hey, they're pet peeves for everybody. So that one's yours. Yay. At least you owned it too, man. All right, Chris. One thing you're curious about.
I don't know. That's a good one.
You could take a pass.
Let's take a pass on that. I don't know what I'm curious about. I'm curious probably too many things.
Let's go to the or. This is a this or that, okay? So, again, health guy, cheeseburger or taco? You already said the burger, so I should.
Yeah, cheeseburger, in. Cheeseburger.
Long walk or gym workout?
Gym workout, man.
He's at the gym. Beach, pool, or lake?
Ooh, beach. There's something about the sound of the waves smacking up against the sand that just it does something for me.
Along with those palm trees. Book or audio book?
Book. I like to read.
Series or movie?
I like a series, less of a commitment. It's very rare that I can sit in front of a TV for 45 minutes, let alone 2 hours.
Best beach in Virginia?
I'd say either Sandbridge or Croatan. So in Virginia Beach, there's a bunch of different beaches. I really liked Croatan when the kids were young. As they got older, we started going to Sandbridge a little bit more, but I'm, you know, Croatan or Sandbridge, definitely.
Virginia is for lovers, true or false?
Oh, that's true. Put a little love in your heart. I don't always feel the love, but I look for it. And if I can look for it, then we see it, right? Whatever, you will see whatever it is you're looking for.
Beautiful answer. Winter or summer?
Summer, all day. All day, well, summer. I'll warm. Take some heat. Yeah.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee. I'm a coffee guy.
Me too. Surviving or thriving?
Oh, thriving. Yes, absolutely. Thriving certainly all the time.
Exemplified that today. Chris, we got a roll here. It has been a joy to have you on. I'm a quote guy. Chris, you have a quote here to end the show with?
So I think there's a, and now it's going to escape me who said it, but I think it's Maxwell who said a leader is one who knows the way, shows the way, and goes the way. I believe deeply in that. Having a vision, knowing the way, rolling up your sleeves and doing it, showing the way and going the way and teaching others how to do it. I believe so deeply in the leader's responsibility to establish a shared vision, to know how to do the work, and then to not be afraid to roll up his or her sleeves and do the work. So I'd say, you know, on a leadership podcast, quoting some Maxwell, you can't go wrong, right?
Can't go wrong there. Chris, how can people find you? Where can they get in touch with you?
On social media, VA Educator CMJ, Facebook, Instagram, X, as it's now called. And that same handle is also my Gmail account. So email or anywhere on those socials.
VA Educator CMG at Gmail Jay. Or then GMJ. Jones, yeah. Dr. Jones, and on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, X as he called it. Chris, it's been an honor. It's been great and really inspired with the show here. Thanks for our audience tuning in. If I can help you in any way, don't hesitate to reach out at Andrew Murata 21 on Twitter. We're going to sign off. This is Dr. Chris Jones from Virginia ASCD. Chris, thanks so much, my friend.
Thank you, man. Thank you so much.
All right, stay on the line a sec. Keep surviving and thriving, everyone, and keep rolling on your journey.